Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I'm your host, Rob Oliver. My guest today is Adam Mendler. He is the CEO of the Valaz Group, where he co-founded and oversees ventures across a wide variety of industries, including Beverly Hills Chairs, Custom Tobacco, and Valaz Solutions. Adam is also a nationally acclaimed thought leader, writer, and speaker on topics including leadership, entrepreneurship, and management. He is the creator and host of the podcast 30 Minute Mentors, where each week he goes one-on-one with one of the most successful people in the country on how they got to the top and how listeners can too. Adam, I'm glad you're on the show, and let's just jump right into it. This concept of 30 Minute Mentors, where did that come from?
I'm a big believer in the concept that I talk about called mini mentors. And what I mean by that is, in contrast to having a traditional mentor who is one person who you might meet with on a regular basis, you might meet with more intimately, that person knows you really well, spends a lot of time with you. A mini mentor could be someone that you might meet with once, might be someone that you could meet with once a year or on a very infrequent basis, but that far more limited interaction could nonetheless yield incredibly significant results for you personally and or professionally. And I've been an incredible beneficiary of so many mini mentors in my life as well. And what I wanted to do with 30 Minute Mentors was bring the best network of mentors possible to listeners. And it's not possible to bring the kind of mentors who are going to be in your life on a continual basis in the course of 30 minutes to listeners. But what I wanted to do is bring mini mentors to listeners' lives, bring the most successful people out there, founders and CEOs of household name companies like Gold's Gym and Campbell Soup and Kayak and Deloitte Consulting, and the list goes on and on. Celebrities like Rob Lowe and Suzanne Summers, Hall of Fame athletes, generals like, I just had the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, on my show. I've had Admiral Jim Stavridis, retired four-star admiral, was the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. My goal really is to have a different guest every week enter the lives of listeners and give listeners the opportunity to learn and grow in a way that will allow them to become more successful personally and more successful professionally. One of the things that I found that I really love about doing this show is that no matter where listeners are on their journey, you could be a college student first starting out, or you could be someone like one of my guests who's one of the most successful leaders in the country. You can never learn enough. You can never gain enough great content, great wisdom, great knowledge. And my goal really with the show is to provide leaders and aspiring leaders of all levels with content that can help anyone tuning in become better, more successful in all aspects of their lives.
You know, it's so interesting because what you and I are doing sounds very similar. The idea that I'm coming from is you can learn from everybody. And part of the idea of this show is gaining wisdom from everyday people, that you're bringing in high-level leaders and everyone benefits from those. Those are people that you're not going to get a chance to sit down with on a regular basis. But by having them on your show, it's almost like your listeners get to sit down with one of those very successful individuals for a 30-minute conversation in which you can gain wisdom from what they're doing. I mean, you're bringing in, you know, generals and CEOs. One of the first guys that I had on my show was a guy who drives a gas truck. And I was amazed because he gave me one of the little tidbits that I've never thought about before when it comes to problem solving. He said, hey, problem solving works best when you don't have to solve a problem. You prevent the problem in the first place. Who were you so far most amazed that you were able to get on your show?
That's a good question. It's funny, this past week's episode, I'm not exactly sure, Rob, when our conversation is going to air. But at least as of the date of our recording, the most recent episode that I released is with the play-by-play announcer for the Angels. His name is Victor Rojas. And we had a funny exchange at the beginning of the show when Victor and I were talking about the podcast, and Victor had a great line, and he said, "Adam, thanks for having me on. I can't believe that you brought me onto your show. You must really be scraping the bottom of the barrel if you're bringing me on." And I'm like, "Victor, man, on the contrary, I'm so honored to have you on. It's my absolute pleasure." And I feel that way with all of my guests. My guests are such incredible people, such incredible leaders, people who have been so successful in everything that they've done personally and professionally, that anyone who takes the time out of their busy schedules to make time for my show, I'm just honored for them to do it. So I love it. What I found is that the guests who come onto my podcast are people who have huge hearts. They're people who really believe in the mission of 30-Minute Mentors. They really believe in what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to achieve, what I'm trying to accomplish with the podcast. I'm really trying to make a huge difference in the lives of others with this content that I'm putting out. And all of my guests really want to be a part of that and love it and love mentoring and love the notion that this is a platform through which we can help mentor other people. So it's just been a true honor for me to be able to do this. And every week I love the opportunity to do another show. It's just so much fun.
Do you have a standard set of questions that you work from, or is it something that you just kind of let the conversation flow as it goes?
Door number three, I actually do quite a bit of preparation before each interview. So I really feel like it's my role as the host of the show to give, and as the creator of the show, to give listeners as much value as I can in the course of that 30 minutes. So I spend a lot of time and put in a lot of effort preparing for each episode, because I want to ask the most thoughtful questions that I can. And I want to ask questions that I believe will cull the most valuable information that can possibly be culled from my guests, so that anyone entrusting me and entrusting my show with their time will be rewarded for that investment that they're making. Because at the end of the day, we all have very busy schedules. We all have lots of things we can be doing. And if you're going to check out my show, I want to make sure that it's going to be of value to you. I don't wing it. In the course of the conversation, there definitely are questions that come up that are organic. So if the guest will say something, I'll definitely ask follow-up questions that are not scripted, that are not prepared. So not everything I'm asking is a scripted question, but I do come in having done a lot of homework. Now, a lot of the guests are people who I know, are people who I have relationships with. Not all the guests are, but some of the guests are. And even the ones who I do have relationships with, I still will do a lot of work to make sure that I'm spending the time as valuably and effectively as I can.
As you do these interviews and you're talking to different leaders, are there themes that you see emerge from the conversations that you're having? Are there things that you're picking up from folks that are in leadership positions that are kind of universal truths?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt, there are themes that emerge. I try to keep the content fresh. So even if I'm interviewing, let's say, a retired general. So I've had, as of the airing of this episode, I've had two different retired generals on. But I want to keep the content fresh. I want anyone tuning in to feel like they're learning something new. So I will ask different questions and get different perspectives on different aspects of leadership and different aspects of success and different issues. With that said, themes do emerge. And when you talk to really successful leaders, really successful people, you do hear things over and over again that are really important for people to hear. One thing that I think everyone should hear, especially in times like these, a question that I've asked is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is ethics when it comes to leadership? And the answer is always 10. Sometimes it's higher than 10. The unanimous verdict when talking to the most successful leaders is a great leader needs to have a rock solid ethical and moral backbone. And without that, you're not going to be a great leader. That's one example, but there are lots of other things we can talk about, but yeah, absolutely. Themes do emerge if you listen to a handful of episodes.
It's so interesting because my dad, when I was a kid, always was harping to me that the end doesn't justify the means, that it's not just about achieving results and whatever you need to do to get them done, regardless of right and wrong. It's all about what you got in the end. And that, hearing that come out from your guest is, you know, just reinforcing the lessons that I learned as a kid and the truths that are there.
And Rob, just to your point, I've tried to make it a point not to ask on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is ethics to leadership? And then the guest will say 10 and then move on to the next question. My goal is to really give listeners an understanding as to why. Why are ethics important to leadership? Why is it so pivotal to have a deep moral foundation? And I'll just give you one example. One of my guests, I forget which episode number, but if you go to 30minutementors.com, you can find all the episodes there. You could also tune in on whatever podcasting app you love, whatever podcasting app you're listening to this great podcast on. You can find 30 Minute Mentors on. It's just all spelled out. I did an interview with someone named Gary Michelson. Gary Michelson is a self-made billionaire. And there are not that many self-made billionaires in the world. There are people out there who have inherited a lot of money and
right,
might be labeled billionaires. There are people who might call themselves billionaires, but won't show their tax returns. But Gary Michelson is a legitimate self-made billionaire. When you hear his story, which we went into, and one of the things Gary and I spoke about on the podcast was an experience that he had when he was in medical school. And by the way, Gary, how did Gary become a self-made billionaire? In case anyone's wondering, Gary was a surgeon and he worked long hours in the hospital. And then when he got home, he worked on his inventions. The next morning, he would wake up and go to the hospital, do his rounds and come home and keep working on his inventions. And he ultimately sold his inventions for north of $1 billion. So Gary and I were sort of talking about a story that was a pivotal moment in his life. When he was in medical school, he was on the verge of graduating. I think he was in his last year of medical school, if I'm not mistaken. And he was essentially forced to do different procedures that he thought were not ethical. He had to do procedures on animals. He had to do different things that the medical school for years and years and years did. And, you know, no one, I guess, had the courage to stand up and say, this isn't ethical. I don't believe in this. And Gary said, I'm not going to do it. This isn't ethical. I don't believe in these procedures. And they said, well, if you don't do it, we're going to kick you out. And he had invested all this time. He put his way through school. He literally put his way through college, put his way through graduate school. And here he is about to graduate from medical school. And the medical school is saying to him, if you don't do these procedures, you're not going to graduate. We're going to kick you out. And here the guy is saying, well, I'm not going to do them because it's not ethical. It's cruel. I don't believe in what we're doing here. And he ultimately won the game of chicken and stood by his guns, stood by his beliefs. And that was a pivotal moment for him, not only his career, but for his life. I think that anyone listening can understand why ethics are important to success, why ethics are important to leadership when you hear a story like that.
It's a great story. And what I'm imagining is that the most interesting thing that comes out of your podcast is not the initial statement, but it's the stories that come behind the statements. What are some of the cool stories that you've heard from different folks that have really impressed you and made a lasting impact on your listeners?
Every week, there's a great story or two or three or five that emerges. So we would kind of have to go episode by episode. This past episode with Victor Rojas, he told some great stories. I'm a huge baseball fan and I love the Angels. And I was asking Victor some questions about his experiences playing minor league baseball. And I don't know if you're a baseball fan, Rob, or if you have listeners who...
I love baseball. I'm in Pittsburgh, so I'm a Pirates fan. You can feel very sorry for me.
I feel your pain, man.
I moved to Pittsburgh in 1993, and that was the start of the losing seasons for the Pirates. They set the North American professional sports record for the most consecutive losing seasons at like 21 or 22. It was a rough time.
We'll come full circle. Joe Madden, who's a Pennsylvania guy,
right,
was Victor Rojas's minor league manager. So Victor was sharing some great stories about his time playing for Joe Madden and what he learned about leadership playing for Joe Madden. And just really interesting hearing his perspective. And what I thought was cool was Victor acknowledging that Joe Madden had all these great lessons that were so valuable for those minor leaguers that Victor didn't really comprehend because he was a kid. He was the 21, 22-year-old kid, and he just didn't really get it. And now that he's 50, he gets it. And he looks back and says, man, Joe Madden was really spewing some amazing wisdom. And I kind of wish that I understood what he was talking about back then. And I thought that was pretty cool. I've just had so many stories from each of my guests. Another one that I'll bring up, I had a guest a few weeks ago, General Reynolds Hoover, who is a retired 3-star general and just a great guy. And General Hoover was in Fort Hood. He was leading a battalion in Fort Hood when the Fort Hood shooter went off. And I asked him about that. He went into it, and that was a moving moment for him, and I'm sure a moving moment for anyone listening in. So I had General Martin Dempsey, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who was talking about his experience advising President Obama, sharing really cool stories and interesting stories about what it's like to be inside the room advising the President of the United States, what President Obama asked of his advisors. One of the things that he said was that President Obama would tell his advisors, like General Dempsey, who was his chief military advisor, he would say, look, guys, I've read all of the briefings. I've already read all the material. So don't tell me what's in the briefings. Surprise me. Tell me something new. I thought that was pretty cool and interesting. He also said that to build trust, and this is such a gem, to build trust, you need to allow the people around you to express themselves, even if they're expressing a perspective that you don't necessarily agree with. Don't cut people off. Let people voice their views, voice their thoughts, voice their opinions. That's how you build trust. And that's such valuable wisdom for anyone in a leadership role or anyone interested in being a leader. Rob, as you could tell, man, I love this stuff. I live for this stuff. I'm a junkie and it's so much fun for me. So, dude, we could just go through each episode and talk about all the nuggets that I love, and hopefully my listeners are having as much fun as I am.
It sounds like you're getting great leadership lessons in that. And so I'm curious about the application, because what you're talking about with the organization that you're running, how are the lessons that you're learning on your podcast then carrying over into your work life?
Really good question. And actually, the first episode that I released was with the founder of Kayak, Keith Melnick, another great guy. And Keith was sharing an anecdote about experience that he had from his days at Kayak. And now Keith runs a company called The Zebra, which is doing really well. And one of the things he was talking about was an experience that he had with an employee of his. And what he was talking about was how when you have really bad employees and you fire them, they're always shocked. They're like, "What? You fired me? What are you talking about?" They're like always caught off guard. And when you have great employees, they're sort of always worried about getting fired. And I was like, "Keith, that's so funny you say that, because I have an employee who is just crushing it. The guy's doing an unbelievable job. He doesn't report directly to me. He reports to someone who reports to me. And all I hear about is how worried he is about that he's going to get fired." And we're like, "Dude, you're doing such a good job. Like, we're not firing you. You're hitting it out of the park. You're crushing it." But like for months, I kept hearing about this guy reporting back to the guy who reports to me that he just thinks he's going to get fired. And none of us could understand it. And then when I did this interview with Keith, it was like this aha moment for me where like, okay, that's really interesting. I get it now. I guess it's not just this one guy. It's a thing. It makes sense. This is apparently a universal truth. And I've had other people who listened to that, who found that moment really resonant. So that's an example among many.
It's funny that you're talking about that, because in my experience, my reasons for starting this podcast were not strictly for benefiting my business, but it actually started with the concept of, okay, how do I learn from other people? Because I think we can all learn from everyone around us. My idea is that everyone around me knows more about something than I do, so let me talk to them, gain some of that knowledge. My goal is to use it to grow my personal business, and I hope that the listeners are able to use it to grow their businesses as well. And it's something that it's helpful to me. And as you're talking about, when you're talking to people who are great leaders and are doing great things, the information that you're getting from them is going to be both personally beneficial and beneficial to everybody else that's listening as well. Fantastic stuff. Listen, I probably could talk to you all day, and I would love to hear you tell stories about the stories of who's been on the podcast. It's been extremely interesting. Overall, just what is the most surprising thing that has happened to you on the podcast?
That's a good question, Rob. No one's asked me that before.
Leave it to me.
The most surprising thing that's happened to me on the podcast. You've kind of stumped me there. I don't know. What's the most surprising thing that's happened to you on a podcast?
The most surprising thing was I talked about having the guy on who was the gas truck driver, and I was really worried about that podcast. I thought, like, the guy drives a gas truck. What am I going to talk to him about for a half an hour? We talked about it, and he dropped probably five or six like nuggets of truth that I was completely not expecting, and the way that the whole thing went, just definitely not where I thought it was going. So I was way surprised by how that went. I just didn't know if there was a guest that you had on and you thought this is going to be a great interview, and it turned out to be a very difficult interview, or, you know, there's so many different things that can happen in the podcast. You never know how it's going to go. And at least for me, that was what surprised me the most.
Yeah. That's an interesting, you know, Rob, I really try to come into these podcasts with an open mind, and my guests are cool. My guests are really accomplished and successful. And Rob, I've always had the mentality that whoever you are, no matter what your story is, no matter what your journey is, no matter what your level of success is, I'm going to find a way to connect with you, and I'm going to find a way to hopefully bring out the best in you and the best in what you have to tell and what you have to share. So I don't really walk into an interview with the mindset that I don't know. I mean, dude, that's a great question. If I'm ever asked that again, maybe I'll have to prepare for a better answer because you stumped me.
Okay. And please understand, my goal was not to stump you with that. It was just to see if there's...
No, I get it. I totally get that. I just, I guess I haven't really been that surprised. I think I'll share one thing with listeners, which is one thing that I can tell you as a podcaster, and Rob, you'll understand and appreciate this. So something that I've come to learn, the clock. It's sort of like when we were talking about baseball before. To use an analogy, baseball, there is no clock, so you don't really have to worry about it. But in basketball, you've got a shot clock. And in football, you've got the play clock. And on a podcast, you have a clock. So you sort of have to be cognizant of the clock. So that can sometimes be, as a podcast host, something that you're balancing, and you want to make sure that you're respectful of the clock. So as a guest, I try to be respectful of the clock as well. And that's something that is interesting, and just some insight for listeners. Is
you have segued perfectly into the fact that I'm watching the clock, and we are about out of time. You have established that you are a smart person. I have learned a lot from you, but what we do at the end of every podcast is three questions to establish your humanity, to give us insight into who you are as a person. Are you ready for your three questions?
Rob, they can't be harder than that last one you asked me, my God.
No, these are the easy and fun questions.
I'm ready.
So if a visitor comes into town, what restaurant are you taking them to?
My go-to restaurant is a place called California Fresh. It's in Westwood, which is where I live and where I work. And it's not the fanciest restaurant, but it's run by great people. It's healthy, it's fresh, and they've got the best split pea soup in America.
Fantastic. And I'll make sure to put a link down in the show notes.
But by the way, if anyone orders the split pea soup from California Fresh and doesn't love it, message me and I will reimburse you.
Nice. What is your favorite season and why?
I'm a summer guy. I love the summer. Rob, are you even asking that question, man? I mean, come on. Does anyone give you an answer other than summer?
It's surprising to me. So far, you are going to be episode, I think, 15. And I try and ask all of the guests different questions. But no, there are people who like winter. There are people who like fall. There are people who like spring.
Rob, anyone who answers the question with anything other than summer, I don't even think you should let that episode air.
There are two answers to the question from what I'm hearing you say. There is summer and then the wrong answer. So no problem. Last question for you.
Yes.
What movie do you find that you quote most often? I'll let you off the hook easy with this one. I quote Christmas Vacation way too much. So I don't know if there's one you quote.
I'm actually not a guy who quotes movies. I love movies. I watch a ton of old movies. I've probably seen just about every classic movie that there is. I don't really quote movies all that often. So sadly, there isn't really a go-to movie that I quote. If I had to pick one, it would probably be the Godfather trilogy, just because there are so many great lines in there. And when I say trilogy, I really just mean one and two, because no one really counts number three in there.
That sounds extremely fair. Adam, I want to thank you for being on the show. Where can folks find your podcast? You said they can look it up on pretty much every podcast platform. Where do you have a website? Where else can they find you?
So I try to make it really easy for anyone interested. It's really just my name, Adam Mendler. So you can go to adammendler.com. You could find me on social media at Adam Mendler, on Instagram at Adam Mendler, on Twitter at Adam Mendler. My show, 30 Minute Mentors, is at 30minutementors.com. That's all spelled out. You could also find it on your favorite podcasting app. So however you're listening to this great podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, you name it. And Rob, this was a pleasure. Really enjoyed it, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for being on the show. As I close, I will remind you, as always, when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.